commitments that I'm going to start today. It may take me 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I don't know. It depends on how far we get. I want to talk about the judgments in the Bible. So I want to ask the Lord to give us wisdom, give us understanding of where it's at in the Word and all that goes on with judgments in the Word. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started today and talk about the judgments of God. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love and grace, and Lord, we thank you for that salvation, that free gift. We don't have to earn it, don't have to do anything to keep it. God, you've done it all. You're our great salvation, and Lord, we love you for that. Now, Lord, help our Sunday school class. Help us all to be attentive and use whatever we hear today that we can use it to witness to others in conversations and see people understand that they need Christ as their Savior before it's eternally too late. Lord, bless your word. Bless the services today. In Jesus' name, amen. Years ago, and I'm talking probably plus 150 years ago, in the Great Awakening and all the preaching coming out of England to this country, they kind of believed in or understood in a way that there was a general resurrection and a general judgment. And we call that amillennialist still today. And there's different opinions on this. And we can have all kinds of opinions, but as fundamental Bible-believing, preach the Word, King James Version, we need to take that word and discern it, and right, as Clarence Larkin says, rightly divide that word and understand what it's saying for us. Now, these judgments, of course, comes in a time period that we won't go back past Christ on the cross. We'll start there. But we know that God judged the nation of Israel many times in the Old Testament. And we can see in Isaiah, we can see in Daniel, major and minor prophets, they get visions of the future judgments and what God's going to do during the church age and at the end of the church age, in the millennial and the rapture and all that happens, and the order that it happens, these judgments happen in that orders of those things that come together. Of course, we're right back to the Olivet Discourse on some of this stuff today that we talked about a month or so ago. It took us a while to get through that. And Christ was talking, comparing revelations and who was going to open that scroll and the title deed to this world. It's going to be his, and we know that. So these judgments happen at different periods of time. Now, of course, there's three main judgments that we always think about. You know, we think about the judgment seat of Christ. You know, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Well, that says a lot. We could talk. We'll talk more about that in a minute. And then the second one that people generally knows is the there's a judgment when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of glory, and before him shall gather all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. Of course, that is at the end of the seven-year tribulation period, at the beginning of the millennial reign, the revelation of Christ. He comes down, sets his kingdom up, and he judges those people that make it through the tribulation period. And we'll talk a little bit more about that one. And most people know about these three here. And then you have the third one that we talk about, a lot of people talks about, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them to hide. I'm just saying, no place for them. People were realizing that they had been resurrected from the dead, and they were getting ready to march in front of God for their sin. Of course, the one in the beginning that we talked about in the air, that's during the seven-year tribulation period, that's with Christ, the Bema Seat, for believers. This last one is for the unsaved, and Satan and hell and all that is cast into the lake of fire. I just lost the sound. So this third one that most people going to talk, they know about that general, those three general judgments of God on the earth. Well, we're going to look at seven judgments. Now, I base this, I have Pastor Lasley's notes on a lot of things that he's done in the past, and they're so valuable to me. It's precious. And I've got a stack of his sermons and notes. It's so precious. And he kind of gave me guard of those things and custody of them. But the first thing that I want to talk about is we have seven judgments, general judgments, that we want to talk about in the Bible. A lot of people don't recognize that. Even Larkin, if you go back to Clarence Larkin's book, in Rightly Dividing the Word, he talks about five. And looking at Preacher Lasley's notes and Schofield and some other people, they think there's seven, can be seven. So we're going to start with the number one is Christ on the cross. Now we're going to look at self-judgment. We know about that one that's going on today in this time for us. And the judgment seat of Christ, which you talked a little bit about, the Jewish judgment. We've talked a little bit about that in the past month or two. And the judgment of the Gentile nations at the end of the tribulation period. Then there's some judgment on some fallen angels that are in hell in a compartment that's called Tartarus, that were put there prior to Noah's flood. They were the cause. I guess I can say that mankind's sin was the cause, but these angels came down and corrupted mankind and intermarried with the earthly women, and God punished those angels and sent them and locked them in chains, and they're there today, and they're going to have a separate judgment. They will be brought out of there and stand in front of God at the great white throne judgment. So that's another judgment, these fallen angels. And they need to be judged because they just completely corrupted mankind at that time. And then we have the great white throne judgment at the end of the thousand-year reign. So where we're going to start with is number one judgment. Now we're going to break these things down, and we're going to look at the subject, the time, the place, the basis of the judgment, and the result of the judgment. Now, this number one that we're going to look at is the Christ on the cross. And the subject of that is the believers as to sin is the subject. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in him. That says so much. It's hard for us human beings in the flesh to understand that God loves us so much that he let his only son die for us to pass on the righteousness that God sees in him. When he sees Christ, he sees righteousness. By faith, we believe that he died, and we trust that for our salvation. And that is imputed on us, that's put on us. That righteousness that he sees in Christ, he sees that in me because I've trusted Christ when I was 13 years old. That to me is still an amazing thing. I will never get over it. I won't get over it in eternity, and I hope I get to get up there and shout with the angels and sing or whatever they do and play harps and all that. I will never get over that. God is such a loving God. It's beyond our comprehension to love sinners. We are just sinners saved by grace. There's nothing we can do to get it. Nothing we can do to keep it. That's what he did for us. So he had to judge sin. We know that sin came into the world with Adam and Eve. And once it was in the world, the prince and the power of this air and all the principalities and kingdoms and everything is affected by the sin, by the devil that roams freely in the atmosphere of this world. Just because we're saved, we're going to step into this self-judgment thing here in a minute, doesn't mean that sin goes away for us. It's a fight. It's a continuous fight. The old nature and the new nature. The new nature with the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling richly within us because of what Christ did on the cross, we have the ability to discern right from wrong. I'll get into that in a minute. Let's finish up what Christ did here. So the time was approximately 30 AD. The place was Calvary. The basis of the judgment was Christ's finished work. He finished it. He was judged for us, for me. For our sin, he suffered and died in our place. We have to hold on to that. In today's society, where people think they can be good enough, people are being taught that in law schools and other schools, in colleges, the good is within you. No, there is nothing good in us. The Bible tells us that. I believe the Bible, so I believe that there's We have an old nature that we have to deal with daily. Paul said he had to die daily to that. We have to deal with that daily. Have to. Or it will get loose on us. Romans 8:1 says, There is therefore no condemnation, means judgment, to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Salvation now is not works. We don't have to work to keep the salvation. Once we get it, we've got it. Once we have the Holy Spirit, we've got it. We're the child of God. Praise the Lord, we don't have to work to keep it. Work to get it. Now, some people today, they think they have to. Blessed of hearts, how they live, thinking that they've got to work to keep it. Romans 3:26, I declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus Christ. Believe. That's the key. We got to believe. When you lead someone to Christ, they have to believe that they're a sinner and they have to believe that Christ died for their sins. We think that's simple, but if the devil is standing in the way and causing problems, there's plenty of evidence in the Bible that the angels and Christ battle with Satan, and there's things in Isaiah and Daniel talks about where the devil is dealing with the prince of Persia, they call it. And he comes and gives in chapter 10 of Daniel, you can read that, and gives Daniel some understanding of what's going on in Babylon and in the world at that time. But it indicates that the devil is out, that Christ and Michael is dealing with the devil in another part of the world. Now, it's going on. That battle is a spiritual battle that we don't even see. It's all around us. Do you think the devil likes what we're doing in here this morning? No. Does he? If we let our guard down, we're part of the church. The church means you're saved. You're part of a child of God, part of the who's going to be in heaven. But you're also members of this church body, this local church body. With all the positive things that are going on in this church right now, things are going really well. Pastor Herbin is leading very well. So pleased, so happy. Things are going good. Missionary program's going wonderful. Wouldn't the devil like to stop that? Don't let him get in. Don't let him use you to drive wedges. We can speak some word or gossip or talk about something and damage things. The devil wants to damage, so we can't let him get in. And then Paul is talking here. He says, he's talking to these Jews, these Pharisees, Sadducees. He says, where is the boasting then? Because they know that he's trusted Christ. And he's saying, where is the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Works? Nay. By the law of faith. They couldn't wrap their minds around the faith that we have and what Christ did on the cross. They were so hung up on works and doing and being. So we have to be careful. There's a fine line between, there is a divine line between doing good to think you're doing something that will keep you saved and doing bad. We have to be cautious. And then Paul says, is he the God of the Jews only? He is not also the Gentiles. Yes, the Gentiles also. They couldn't accept that you and I could be saved. They didn't think we were good enough. Christ died for all of us. No matter what color your skin is, where you're from, who you are, what level of life you're in, you don't want to let any of that stuff get in the way. Oh, it's easy today to watch some of this garbage or listen to some of these radio broadcasts. And these, it just gets completely off the media and all that. There is no truth except the Word of God. And we get away from that, we're going to get in trouble. So the result of this is twofold. Number one, the result of what happened on the cross and him sacrificing himself is the death of Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:3, "For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received." This is Paul. how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And then number two, the justification for believers. Therefore, being justified by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith. It says in Romans 5:1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Him dying on the cross, folks, and raising again in 3 days, sitting at the right hand of God right now, and the Holy Spirit dwelling within us richly, we have so much to be thankful for. God has done so much for us. So the next thing on this judgment list seems to fit fairly well. If you look on the timeline of the Bible and all we've been talking about, here we are just in the New Testament. Christ dies at 30 AD. We see everything in the past, the 400 silent years basically, and then you're back in the active part of the Old Testament. You're coming forward now. We're in the church age. That's what we live in. We're in this dispensation. This is the time period that God deals with us in today's world. We live in that dispensation. We're all here. We're here. You're here. I'm here. And the Bible talks about self-judgment. And when does that happen? In the present, right now. Self-judgment. I was listening to I get off on some crazy things and listening. I was listening to a college class in a big college up in the northeast part of this country. You can get it online. And it was a lawyer class on ethics. And I was into listening about ethics and how lawyers determine what ethics are. Thinking about our country and most of these congressmen are lawyers or have been part of a law firm or are lawyers. And I was listening to this about ethics. It's no wonder that we are in the kind of mess we're in. Ethics, this guy was preaching ethics or teaching ethics, let's say that, in a class. It was a small class. There was like 15 kids. And he was allowing them to ask questions. But the main thing that he was teaching was that they're inherently good. And they need to bring that good out of themselves. Now you think about that. That's completely opposite what the Bible says, what Paul preaches and teaches. So here's a college teaching going to be lawyers that they are ethically good and they can be good and they can rule good and judge good. Without Christ in our life, without the Holy Spirit giving us unction on the wrong, right and wrong, I just don't understand how, yeah, it's written down in law books. And it's written down in code and all that stuff, the ethic laws. The problem is, we are sinners saved by grace. Not just these people that are not saved, not just these people that are lawyers that are saved and lawyers that are not saved. We've got both. The problem is, with ethics, the world, we all live in this world, and they're affected by the devil sending stuff their way. So, when I'm trying to ethically impart the Constitution of this great country, and someone comes around the corner and says, well, this or that, and it changes their perspective on that ethics to do the right thing. It's the devil is in the world. He lives in it. He breathes in it. And folks, if if we ain't careful, he'll affect our ethics based on God's word. We know it's like what Paul says. He said, well, let's see. I think I've got those down here. Well, let me just start right here. I'm getting off on a rabbit trail. 1 Corinthians 11:28. But let man examine himself. We've heard these before when to do the Lord's Supper. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many will be weak and sickly among you, and many will sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So, self-judgment. And the subject of self-judgment is us, the believers. I mean, can a man that's not saved self-judge? Does he have good enough ethics to judge himself? Maybe. But I would say most of the time, no. Because of the world, because of the sin, because not having the Holy Spirit, some of these people don't know how to judge. Greed has run this country ragged. Self-judging. We as sinners are supposed to do that. Now, is that easy? No, Paul says it's not. In Romans chapter 7, verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. This is Paul saying this. For to will is present, with me, how to perform that which is good, I find not. This is Paul talking now. For the good that I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. That language always confused me, but if you really slow down and read it, I mean, he's just saying, I want to do good, but I'm telling you, every time this comes in around my life, I just do the wrong thing. Folks, we're men at best, and we've really got to guard this. We don't do it for some motive either, because he talks about that later on. I'm not going to be good to somebody to gain favor or to gain a position or get a job, or so much of that goes in today's business world. It's been going on forever. Not just today, but on and on in the past. I've been in my own business basically for 40 years or more. So many opportunities come along where people want to do things. Well, I'll give you this job, but I'll let you do this, but I just decided early on I couldn't do that. I can't, you know, being a deacon in a church for 45 years, the testimony that I had and everybody knew who I was, how I could not constrain myself. I could not self-judge myself and know on one hand I'm doing this and the next day I'm in church or in a deacon's meeting. You know, it just don't work. It never did work for me. Christ constrained me. I had opportunities. And maybe you have. But Christ constrained me. Thank the Lord that he constrained me. Because I see so many colleagues and friends in the past that got drug into some of that garbage, and some were close to being prosecuted. And it's still going on today. And it's all about greed. The devil throws us up and says, it was real when the devil come to Christ after the 40 days in the wilderness, and he was starving and hungry and weak. And he said, "Here, let me give you all these kingdoms." That was a real offer. Because who's the prince and the power of the air? But it doesn't make any sense because God's got it all anyway. But that's how crazy the devil is. He wants to catch you when you're weak. So self-judgment is so important, folks. It's so important. Now, Paul says, "Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more than I that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." It's hard to read. For me, it is. "I find then the law that when I should do good, evil is present with me." This is the game that the devil plays is nothing new. It's been going on from the beginning. He fooled Adam and Eve, and he's fooled Paul, and fooled all the disciples and everybody else, and he's right here still today, fresh and anew, and trying to fool us into messing up. We've got to check ourselves. We've got to check ourselves. Self-judgment. "But I see another law in my members, warning against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Boy, Paul called it right, man. It's in our members. We're sinners. Don't ever think you're above it. Our minds can go quickly. We have to guard our eye gate and our ear gate from garbage in this world. It will drag us down a rat hole that we don't need to. We'll get in the mud. We'll get stuck up. If you ever been in a four-wheel drive and been out in a mud hole and you couldn't get out, you just spinning the wheels, not getting anywhere. That's what sin will do to people's lives. Now that, and I'm not just talking about people that are unsaved. I'm talking about you and me. We've got to self-judge. The Bible says it, and we're going to do it. I'm guilty. It's on my mind, yes, more than it used to be. But you have to be cautious, folks, because the devil is like a roaring lion and he's throwing fiery darts at us and all those things that the Bible says. We have to stay on top of self-judging or we'll fall into some kind of junk that we don't need to be in. And God can't bless any of that. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." The new person, the new life and the old life, serving the flesh, serving the God, knowing what he's supposed to do. And what time should we do this? Self-judging. The Holy Spirit convicts us and points out the sin. That's when you do it. Holy Spirit's going to do that. And where should you do it? Any place, any time. Driving down the highway, at home. The basis of the judgment we find is threefold. We have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. We have the Word of God, and we have the will of God. one simple question. What I'm about to do, does it please God? What I'm about to say, does it please God? Is it right for me to say this? Is it right for me to get even with this person? Is it right for me to tell somebody a gossip? We bounce that off of the knowledge that we have of the Bible and what God gives us through the Holy Spirit. Preacher Lashley always compared it to being checked, playing football, down ready to go, and somebody checks you. You're not going that way. There's an opposing lineman there that says, that ain't going to happen. If we let God dwell richly in us, He'll check us. He'll stop it before it ever gets there. But we got to self-judge. I think this is one of the hardest judgments that we're going to be talking about, this self-judgment. Preacher Lashley said one time that a man said he was saved but didn't go to church. Preacher Lashley says, I said, you are in for a whipping. And he smiled and said, yes, I guess. So you get calloused after you repeatedly do things. And this man just admitted, smiled and said, yes, I guess I will get chastised. Chastisement, if we don't judge ourselves, we'll have to deal with that. And maybe we already have. I know I have in times of my life. For whom the Lord loveth, He chastiseth and scorneth every son whom He receiveth. It means everybody that's been saved, if He's your child, He's going to chastise you when you get in trouble. Goes on to say, if you're not being chastised, you're not a son. You're not saved. People need to check that. People that are into doing things when you witness to them and they just keep doing it over and over and over and messing up their life and messing up everybody around them, most likely they're not saved. We can't judge that. But if they had the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, they wouldn't keep doing those things. They'd be checked. And maybe they are saved, and maybe it's not for us to say, folks. We are not the judge. It's God's business. It's one of the ways that I know I'm saved. Another quote from Preacher Lashley. One of the ways I know when I'm saved is when I sin, I can't get by with it. Boy, how simple that is. When I sin, I just can't get by with it. The Holy Spirit checks. I remember Him saying that over and over through sermons. And I wasn't here that long under Him, 5, 6, 7 years, or 8 or so. Just let the Holy Spirit check you. You know, one of the things that my father always told me, he said, son, if you would just slow down and think about what you're going to do. I never thought about that years ago, but in the past I have, how wise that was. If we just slow down and let the Holy Spirit shine a light on what we're getting ready to say or do, there's usually no question whether you do it or not. Just slow down. We can think pretty fast. Think how fast you can think. In 10 seconds, you can think about a lot. Self-judgment's important, folks. Self-judgment's important. Because the next thing that we're going to see, that's in this life, self-judgment. If the rapture happens today, we're going to be standing in front of the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. And then He's going to judge us. judge our works by fire, whether it's precious stones, hay, and stubble. That's the next judgment that we're going to talk about. I think I'm going to have to quit right there, because I don't really want to start that, because we're just about done. We'll just quit 2 or 3 minutes early here. So next week we're going to start, and we're going to talk about the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." We must. "That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now, this is not judging us on whether we're saved or not. This is the Bema seat, which means a judge's stand, like at the Olympics, where everybody gets a trophy there of some sort, or a ribbon, participating. But there will be rewards, and there will be loss of rewards. I agree with Preacher Lastly. Another quote that I found that he written down, he says, "I look forward to the second coming of Christ. I'm ready for that. But I am not looking forward to standing at the judgment seat, the Bema seat." Do you have rewards there? Yeah, I think we have one or two, for sure. But how many will we lose? How many will we not get? Oh, yes, we're saved. We're going to be there. Yes, we're going to come back with Christ at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. And we'll be involved in Him coming down, standing on earth and judging the goats and sheep. We'll get to see all that and go into the millennial reign. But before that, we're going to be standing in heaven talking to Christ about what we did as Christians. What counts? What carries a cross? I have to think back at myself and look at the number one thing: how many people have I witnessed to? And how many people have gotten saved from that witness? I don't know. I know there's probably a handful or two that I know that I've witnessed to that got saved in front of me. Then other ones that came later on in front of somebody else. Because we don't know the seed that we plant, what it does. That's just one facet of it. That's one crown. Anyway, judgments, Lord. I think this self-judgment thing is really important, that we stay tuned up, if you want to say it that way, with God, with Christ, with the Holy Spirit's help. Let God lead in every decision that we make. And I know that's hard. That ain't easy for me either. We're just flesh. Bible says it. That's who we are. But we're saved by His grace, and we have the Holy Spirit dwelling richly within us. Let's think about what we're going to say and do for just about 10 seconds and let the Holy Spirit shine a light on it. And say, is this what I should do? Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for loving us. We thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your promises. A hope in heaven, there forever, praising You and serving You. All those promises in the future, Lord. Now, Lord, we thank You for the word. Thank You for helping us understand judgments, how we're getting into these judgments. Lord, help us as we go forward in life to self-judge daily, to check ourselves daily. Lord, help us. We thank You again for Your love and grace. Lord, we just pray that You'd be with our service today. See some soul saved and hearts changed. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you, guys.